Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The war between Russia and Ukraine is now, would you believe, in its fourth year. And the global efforts to bring it to a close is more complicated than ever. Washington, Moscow, Kyiv, all are watching closely as Donald Trump signals that he wants to end it. But can he? We are joined this morning by Stephen Groots. He leads the South African Governance and Diplomacy Program, and we wanted to walk through this scenario. Stephen, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can you help us set the stage? What are the core conditions for any Russia-Ukrainian peace deal to take place?
Hi, Howard. Thanks for having me. Well, obviously, the first step would be a ceasefire to stop the guns. But the problem is the parties are still very far apart. Russia wants to keep the Russian-speaking regions that it has invaded and that it held a sham referendum for them to decide to be part of Russia. So he basically wants to dismember Ukraine as we know it as a state. I'm sure if offered, he would want to take the whole of Ukraine. And of course, on the opposite side, Ukraine is fighting for its very survival. It would not want to surrender territory. In 2014, it had to give up Crimea, which is a very strategic area in the Black Sea, and was forced basically by the international system and by Putin to give it up. And they have dreams in their maximalist position of regaining and retaining Crimea, but I think that's going to be unlikely. So for me, the parties are still far apart. Hostilities have been escalating. There's been a lot of use of drones on both sides and a lot of attacks by Russia on Ukrainian power infrastructure, electricity. So to me, in conflict resolution talk, this is not ripe for resolution at the moment.
Why is Trump or the U.S.'s involvement critical and or consequential for this type of deal to take place?
Well, I mean, partly it's Trump's personality and whatever faults he has, he is in favor of peace when there is war. He has made a lot of attempts to deal with flashpoints around the world. I mean, America remains the superpower, the most important country, even if we are in a multipolar world where there are different scales of power. I think the U.S. is still predominant. Whether it allows or gives or sells long-range Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine will be significant, because then Ukraine could strike much deeper into Russian territory rather than just on the periphery. So I think what America thinks and says and does still matters a lot.
It seems to. It's very interesting. What role do African states or the global South, as it's become known, play? Or what role could they play, if anything, in influencing the outcome?
Yeah, at the beginning of the war, there was a lot of disappointment, I would say, from the Europeans and the Americans that all African states hadn't lined up to condemn Russia. Some, very few actually supported it. A lot of them abstained in the UN, and some supported the resolutions against Russia. Then we saw in the middle of 2023 this African peace initiative that Cyril Ramaphosa led with six other African countries, Zambia, Congo Brazzaville, I forget the others at the moment. But they went to visit Kyiv and St. Petersburg in this case, and said that they are prepared to mediate. That really hasn't gone anywhere. That's fizzled out. There have been some attempts by other global South countries like Brazil to put forward ideas on how this war could be ended. Also haven't seemed to really progress much. So I don't think there is a massive role, but I could be wrong. I think everybody should try and create peace from whatever avenue they are able to do so, and sometimes these link up and lead to something.
What you said earlier, that in your view, it's not really ripe for a resolution. What would the factors be, do you think, that would allow it to be fertile ground to resolve this?
Well, the fundamental thing is whether the countries or the sides believe that they can gain more at the negotiating table than they can on the battlefield. With Russia, it's a little bit different because it's such a vast country with a big population and a leader who is following in the tradition of many Russian leaders before him that is not really worried about casualties too much. Thousands and millions of Russian soldiers over the last 150 years have been sent into battle to die for their country, and there just seem to be more and more to recruit from. Ukraine, on the other hand, is a much smaller population and maybe running out of recruits. It's got to hurt more to continue fighting than to go to the negotiating table, even if the sides are very far apart. But, you know, we're just seeing night after night, day after day, more and more attacks on cities, on electricity infrastructure. So the sides haven't pulled back. They're not running out of ammunition. The battle is still raging. So it's not ready to be resolved at this point.
In terms of the way in which it would, if you had a crystal ball and you could say, all right, this is what it would look like, Russia would keep this, Ukraine, this is how it would look. What do you think it would end like? How would it look?
Yeah, well, I think it would be most unlikely that Crimea will return to Ukrainian sovereignty. So I think that's done and dusted.
Yes.
There probably would be, and if Ukraine, you also got to remember Ukraine is being propped up in this by NATO and by Europe. So whereas it might have already capitulated, it has the power of the European Union and NATO behind it, which is arming it and training and so on and so forth. I don't know what would happen with the Russian-occupied areas. Trump has said that Ukraine might have to give away territories, which would be very loath to do. If from Ukraine's perspective, victory would be regaining control of those territories. I guess for Russia, it would be retaining control of those territories. So the parties are not on the same page, I guess, on where they might be able to agree.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always, Stephen Cruz, giving us a sense of the Russia-Ukraine situation, and certainly in his view, not looking like there is fertile ground for a peace agreement.